This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Well, Elsa is strengthening into a hurricane as it smashes into Florida. That storm expected to really hit landfall Wednesday over the northern Florida Gulf Coast. 75 mile an hour winds. We'll talk about that because I know plenty of people are listening to us in the Sunshine State or have relatives that live there or friends, etc., and they're a bit concerned. In the meantime, we're seeing some horrific images that have started to pop up at the collapsed building site when it was demolished. Now 36 people, that is the death toll. So they still look for more bodies there. And there's more odds and ends that we'll throw about, including the buzz over what happened on a golf course in Montana. And we'll save that for later this hour. Plus, Nicole Halls is going to have a conversation with us at the tail end of the hour. She's a really interesting lady who has a powerful book, so we'll chat with her. And right at the get-go, though, again, Kate Delaney, thrilled as always to be the skipper in these choppy waters. And when I talk about choppy waters, that's exactly what Elsa has churned up. So hurricane season is forecast to be way above average. And here we go. Buckle up, anyone who is in the path of this storm. The Florida Governor DeSantis says 7 counties are under hurricane warnings, 33 counties under state of emergency. They're not fooling around with this. Tampa, the storm is expected to hit Wednesday. As I said, Tampa city officials are pressing people who live there to be prepared and to stay inside. You know, there's that tendency to want to go and see or to move in the middle of a storm, and that's often when people get caught up in those flood waters. So, you know, you got tropical warnings in place for 28 other counties. There are about 1,500 people across Florida right now that are having trouble with power, and the utility companies are scrambling to do what they can there. I was looking at some of the early pictures of this tropical storm that now is gaining more strength and popping into a hurricane, and the surge, and what I've seen in the waters, the heavy rain. And the other part of this is the possible tornadoes. That is so frightening, because often that, you know, this is not what you're necessarily expecting, and you're not looking for that, right? You're looking for the obvious things that happen in a hurricane, but not looking for those twisters to smash down. And I'll tell you what, when you look at the satellite images of it, it is frightening. It really is. It's got that slow crawl where you can look at the eye of the thing, and you just keep thinking, wow, where specifically is this going to slam? Where is this going to hit down that people are going to, in one county, really bear the brunt of it, and perhaps in another one they just get some of that solid, crazy, crazy rain? Vaccines, vaccines, and oh, vaccines. Lots of conversation about being vaccinated, getting vaccinated. What does it mean with the Delta variant? People who are choosing, in some cases, to mask up and say, I'm not getting the vaccine because of what I've heard. So now there's this big door-to-door push. This is a big move. The president on Tuesday was pretty urgent about it, and especially because of the Delta variant, saying mass vaccination sites have been closed and they're replaced by a push to weave it into your daily life. So there's mobile vaccination sites. There are a lot of other opportunities for people to be vaccinated, but there are people that don't want to be vaccinated. It really is the tale of two different types of people, the ones that are getting it and the ones who say for religious reasons, for conspiracy theory reasons, for whatever reason it is, thinking that for health reasons, that for them they won't be able to take the vaccine. There are still plenty of people that haven't gotten it in the United States, even with the availability. So 182.7 million have been vaccinated. So 157.6 million have been fully vaccinated. For everybody listening to us on these shores and off these shores, if you crunch the numbers from Johns Hopkins University, that's 47.5% are fully vaccinated, 55% with at least one dose. My numbers aren't foggy on this one. When I play gin with my aunt, maybe a little fuzzy as I'm trying to add up some of the high cards that I'm stuck with when she's out or has gin. But in the last week, it's been an average of 865,000 doses per day. That's a 9% decrease over the week before. So there are lots of people who are not getting the vaccine, despite the offer of free pot, of potentially winning $1 million, and sports tickets, and all kinds of things, all kinds of swag. It's almost like the old morning shows in radio that had a lot of swag that they were giving out for contests. But this isn't a contest. This is the vaccine. So the Delta variant is the concern. I mean, that really is the concern more than, I think, anything else. What does it mean, and what does it mean for the people who are unvaccinated? And there's still lots of questions. I mean, let's face it, right? There's questions about if you got the Johnson & Johnson coronavirus vaccine, do you get a booster dose of Pfizer or Moderna? Or do you still feel like, you know what, I'm looking at this, I'm hearing some of these stories, and I just don't feel comfortable doing this, so I'm not going to do it. And in the middle of all of it, there is those that are flying, and oh, what a mess flying has become because of the fact, and I've said this over and over again, and now I've talked to pilots and others, that there just is not enough time to ramp up as fast as necessary to accommodate all of these flights that people are now suddenly taking because they feel confident in flying and are, for the first time in many cases, in 15 months or 2 years, going to see people that they have not seen. I mean, so that is ultimately the question. Have you flown, and will you fly in the next couple of months? Are you planning a summer vacation? You can send me your thoughts on that. We have an unofficial poll going. So far, 75% of people that have weighed in say they are going to fly to see family or friends or take a vacation. So that's Kate at KateDelaneyRadio.com. Kate at KateDelaneyRadio.com. Sha'Carri Richardson is off the U.S. Olympic team for cannabis. So in one state, you get a jab, you get a joint. And when you're an athlete, cannabis doesn't fly. So this is an Olympic sprinter candidate who tested positive for cannabis, was left off the U.S. team for the 4x100 meter relay Tuesday. She is fast can be. And this is a tough loss for Team USA. We're hitting the mailbag next.
Yes, the pandemic is coming to an end. Restrictions are coming to an end. But body aches and pains never seem to end. That's why you need to click sunny-bay.com for the best sleep you can get. Sunny Bay's legendary products can help, like our lavender stress-reducing products, locally sourced and handmade in the USA. Or try Sunny Bay's award-winning pillows for traveling or extra neck support while sleeping. No need for pills or expensive chiropractic visits. Our neck support pillows are that good. Sunny Bay is a homegrown small business, but our products are designed and rigorously tested based on your demand and feedback. And they make great gifts for mom, dad, or anyone. Find Sunny Bay products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, or at sunny-bay.com. And right now, get free heat patches and a belt with any purchase. So remember, Sunny Bay heating pads, neck pillows, and stress-relieving hot or cold wraps. As restrictions come to an end and you get back to work, do it the healthy way with Sunny Bay.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
You have mail, mistress.
Let's dig in the mailbag.
All right, thanks to you, and those two old guys in the back, easy for me to say, for sending me your thoughts. I gave the address right at the top, kdelaneyradio.com. Are you flying? Are you taking off this summer for whatever reason? And so far, lots of people have sent me thoughts on flying, and in fact, so many are saying that they are doing that for different reasons. How about you? Let's go to this first one. This one is from Pete, listening to us in Oklahoma City. Girl, we're so glad to have you on in Oklahoma. I know that you've been here several times, know a lot of people here, and have given us some love, so we appreciate you. It's interesting with the vaccine. I have to tell you, I am not a I'm not an anti-vaxxer with a wild conspiracy theory or jumping on a bandwagon where I'm holding signs and screaming at people. I just don't feel comfortable being vaccinated because of the horrific reactions to people in my family had, and because of my history with vaccines, it doesn't make any sense because I know I would be somebody who would be on the verge. I really believe that, Kate. But I will tell everybody I take it serious. I wasn't a person who masked up at first. I laughed at that, scoffed at it, but I am a Republican, and yet I wear a mask, but I do not vax for personal reasons because of my history. But you better believe my daughter, my grandchildren who are in college have all been vaccinated. There is no reason it should be politicized. I mean, I want my fellow man to live and for all of us to get through it together. I don't know about the rest of you. You know, amen to that. I mean, he spelled it out. You can't do it for your reasons, but everybody else in your family has been vaccinated, and you're saying you're a Republican, and you don't understand why it's become so politicized. I think we're beyond that because it is. I mean, this is what we live with. I mean, you know, there's like a line in the sand, and what is the line in the sand, and is it wiggly or not for you? But there's no pulling people to your side. There's no having these long drawn out arguments where you're changing a lot of people's minds. I don't think so. I mean, you can see that. That's why with what's being offered, it only goes so far, and that's it. That's why we're not at 70%. Because no matter what was thrown out there, the bait, it wasn't quite enough. It wasn't enough for people who are really rooted in the fact that they don't want to do this and think it's that they shouldn't be forced to make any kind of a decision. And hey, listen, in this country, that's not happening. So you go places and it's the honor system. I mean, let's face it. That's not the deal. That's not what's happening here. Individual businesses could insist, but a lot of that's being lifted. Every place that I've gone, there have been signs about if you're vaccinated, it's fine, but please wear a mask if you're not. And you see kind of it's kind of a mixed thing of people being wearing masks or not wearing masks. All right, let's go to this one from Roger in Louisiana. Hey, Kate, I feel for the people you know in Tampa. I've been looking at the weather all day, and it looks really hinky as to what's going to happen there. It seems like they get threatened a lot, that they're going to take direct hits. But this time it looks for real just off Tampa Bay. It looks like they're going to get a real surge, and that maybe it's not tracking right now at a crazy, crazy number of miles per hour, but that it's expected to have hurricane conditions. So Tampa, St. Pete, I know all the places that you have talked about and where you just were are expected to really get slammed pretty hard, and then it's going to veer off in a few other areas as well. If you look at a map, you'll see that I have family there too, so I've really, really been watching this. I have a son and daughter-in-law and grandchildren that are in the eye of what could be this hurricane. Yeah, you know, they're saying about 3 to 5 feet above ground levels possible along the western coast, right? Tampa Bay would be included in this, and that the storm surge could be 1 to 3 feet above ground level in some other areas. You know, the high tides are the concern, right? So clear water, 12:03 high tide. And that's what you get, the higher the tide, and then you mix that with the speed of this thing, and that's where it gets tricky. And also with the rainfall and again, the wind, that's where that big, big concern is. Let's put it this way. The red flags are out. So I hear you. You know, batting the hatches, and I got you on the whole, you know, family there. All right. This one is from Beth, and Beth says, hey, Kate, I don't know if you saw this story or not. I know you have a lot of Brits on the show, and I love hearing their accents, and I think it's interesting to hear their stories. But I saw a wild story about this ban on boiling lobsters alive under this whole idea of welfare rights of crustaceans, and I just wondered that, does it mean they're giving it up? I mean, they're giving up lobster? Just seems crazy to me. You know what? It's funny that you bring that up, but they're preparing. It is true. They're preparing to recognize crabs, octopus, lobster, squid, and other invertebrates that they feel the pain. So they have legislation that will formally acknowledge that animals are sentient beings. And it's the Animal Welfare Sentience Bill that is going through their House of Lords. And it covers only animals that have a backbone. So they're preparing to back an amendment to this. No more screaming lobsters? Oh, my gosh. In America, what a staple. You think of all of the places that you go in when you're somewhere on water where, you know, Atlantic, Pacific, you know, wherever you're up in Cape Cod area, all the way east or all the way down past, you know, all the way to Florida. And you go into restaurants, you pick out a lobster. I mean, in fact, my family, the place that was the nice place you went to when you were down the Jersey Shore was a place called the Lobster House. And the Lobster House, from the time I was a kid, I can remember being fascinated with seeing the lobsters. You know, people came in and they picked their lobsters, and they were in this large, large tank. And that's what you were looking at. You were looking at the large tank. It's, pretty wild. Banning boiling lobsters alive. We'll see how long that goes through and how long it takes to pass that in their political system. Do you think that would work anywhere in the U.S.? I mean, there's a lot of things that have passed that you probably don't even know about, from counties to different cities to different states. But I don't know if that would pass. I don't know if that would fly or not. All right, this one is from Billy, who says, "Hey, Kate, I am a college student. I listened to the show. I discovered it when I was in California to visit my family. They listened to you. And I'm wondering, and I heard you do a story about this on one of your Tech Tuesday shows, I'm wondering what you think about all these robots that are taking over college campuses to be the delivery people for, so to speak, for pizzas and all the other food that are being ordered at dorms and, you know, whatnot across these college campuses. Do you think it'll really work? And do you think it catches on with the everyday consumer in neighborhoods? In my neighborhood, I live near a big college, they have that robot you're talking about, and they've had it for a while, that it's the way to deliver food. And I've asked, does it work well? And it seems to work well. So there is Grubhub that is going to deploy those suitcase-sized rovers to about 250 colleges across the U.S. where they operate. And this autonomous rover that's been tested, even in some of the worst conditions, fares okay. Delivers food, groceries, documents, all of it. And the pandemic boosted the food delivery business, so there's been a lot of interest from companies to automate parts of their operation because they got to get people to come and work, and they're having a hard time with that. So that's something to watch. And I see that thing at least a couple of times a week, probably two or three times a week, and it seems like it's just going back and forth on the campus. Doesn't seem like it's having any sort of problem. I guess they can carry about 44 pounds of goods. Wow. So interesting, huh? All right, stay tuned, and I'll meet you for more coming up on the flip side, the mic drop.
Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. There could be more to your story with IBS-C. Visit a doctor in person or online. Say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS. Sponsored by Abbvie and Ironwood Pharmaceuticals.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
US USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
New data from the CDC shows that the Delta variant of the coronavirus is now the dominant strain in the United States. Delta now accounts for more than 51% of new infections in the country, with some areas in the Midwest harder hit, seeing up to 80% of new infections attributable to Delta. President Biden says the fast spread of the strain will hopefully be a motivator for people to get vaccinated.
It seems to me it should cause everybody to think twice. And it should cause reconsideration, especially in young people, who may have thought that they didn't have to be vaccinated, didn't have to worry about it, and didn't have to do anything about it up to now. But the good news is that our vaccinations are highly effective. Fully vaccinated Americans have a high degree of protection, including against this Delta variant.
This is USA Radio News. The fight over an infrastructure spending bill is expected to continue when lawmakers return to Washington. A bipartisan framework was agreed to last month, although there remains many questions over whether a larger bill supported by Democrats will be pushed through reconciliation. That's something that Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell vows to fight. At an event Tuesday in Kentucky, he said the two parties may be further apart on this issue than at any time in the past.
This is going to be a hell of a fight over what this country ought to look like in the future. And it's all going to unfold here in the next few weeks. I don't think we've had a bigger difference of opinion between the two parties over the best thing to do for America than we have right now. These are really, really different.
The bipartisan group of senators and the White House are working to build support for their $1.2 trillion deal. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Registered pharmacist Ben Fuchs ensures he gets the best use of his mineral supplements by using Youngevity's Ultimate Enzymes.
If you start a nutritional supplement program and you find that you get loose stools more than you get any benefits from the supplements, there's a good chance that you're not absorbing the minerals. Now, here's the thing about minerals and mineral absorption. You need to have a functioning fat system. You need to have functioning bile. You need to have a well-functioning liver and a well-functioning gallbladder in order to get the benefits from nutritional supplements with minerals. It's very common that as we get older, we don't absorb fats, we don't utilize fats, and then you won't be utilizing or absorbing minerals either. I would be getting on the Ultimate Enzymes from Youngevity. I'd be making sure I was taking it with all my meals.
To get optimal use of your nutritional supplements, order Ultimate Enzymes from Youngevity by calling 866-735-2470. That's 866-735-2470. Or on the web at brightsideben.com. That's brightsideben.com. Order today.
At the tail end of this hour with Nicole Halls, but before we get there, how about this for what I would call a real mic drop moment? Along with a notebook containing step-by-step instructions on how to create a hometown militia, FBI agents seized a fully constructed U.S. Capitol Lego set from the Pennsylvania home of a man indicted last month for his role in the January 6th insurrection. Prosecutors say that 27-year-old Robert Morse directed fellow rioters during one of the most intense and prolonged clashes with the officers who were there on the Hill, who were seeking to prevent the mob from entering the Capitol through the doors on the Lower West Terrace. He had tactical gear on and allegedly ripped a riot shield from the hands of one of the police department officers, the Metropolitan Police Department officers there in D.C., and later organized a shield wall that was used to crush officers in the rioters' path. And here it was that these things were, you know, different things that had happened this was a guy who graduated from Penn State. He served as an Army Ranger, was indicted on what I said, benign criminal counts related to January 6th. He was a substitute teacher, and he has been locked up since his arrest, and they're seeking to continue his pre-trial detainment. But the fact that he had this and this Lego set, was 1,032 pieces, and it was what he was using. It was fully constructed U.S. Capitol Lego set. He was using that to know, as plans, to know where to go and to look for others and to lead other people, which through the Capitol, which is so crazy if you think about it, that he's painstakingly, meticulously putting together this Lego set to know all the ins and outs of, hey, here's where the entrances are, and this is what they saw. How do you create the hometown militia? And then there's my Lego set, just 27 years old, and this is one of the things that really stood out that they unearthed when they were going to the house to find, to see what documents he had, that kind of stuff, which is, I know, it's just wild to me to think, when I think of putting together the Legos and thinking of reconstructing something that I could look at, and that's what he was doing, to be able to pull more people in, and he definitely pulled more people in, definitely. All right, speaking of more people in, for those in the United States who are able to freely go about their business and be wherever they want to be for the most part, even with still social distancing and precautions, how about Sydney? And we talked to a lot of people from Sydney. The leader of Australia's New South Wales state on Wednesday ordered a week-long extension of Sydney's COVID-19 lockdown, warning that new cases were on the rise. And they're grappling with the highly infectious Delta variant. You know, Sydney in Australia is home to about a fifth of the 25 million who live in Australia. So because of Delta, they were plunged into a lockdown on June 26th. And now it's in place until July 16th. So one of the worst outbreaks of the year so far, that's what they're dealing with. And that means, you know, Qantas, they had problems with stocks even. Qantas Airways fell in trading. Some of their grocery chains fell because, you know, fell a point or two in as far as stocks are concerned, because just like in the United States, negative news, what happens? Lockdowns and social distancing and trying to just keep the before they were doing so well, they had such relatively low numbers. And now it is a please stay at home. Please stay at home is what they're being told. So when you feel like whining about what's happening in the U.S., think about what's happening in some other places. And yet the number of kids who and instructors who are testing positive as this church camp continues to rise, it's like 125 now. That's how many got sick at this camp. Oof. But some who were vaccinated, not sick. So then it goes back to that point of arguing about vaccine, not vaccine, and pressure is certainly mounting on anti-vaxxers to get vaccinated. And the proof is in some of what we've seen at these camps and other places where people are really facing some huge obstacles in trying to stay healthy, you know, and trying to stay in position of not finding themselves backwards again. And that's why, you know, you look at Sydney, we don't want to end up going backwards. We don't want to end up having to put the genie back in the bottle, so to speak, right? No, we do not want to. All right, I said there were some sports moments and there's not a man cave this time around, but how about the Phoenix Suns? For everybody listening in Arizona, wow, 118-105, beating the Bucks. And what was it about this first game? What is really the tale to be told here? And it's what I said, you know, heading into this series, really look for Devin Booker and Chris Paul. This is his first opportunity to take charge, and they certainly have. Chris Paul had 32 points, a couple of key boards, four boards, and all, and 9 assists in this win over Milwaukee. But this is the first game, and I think this series, like I said, heading into it, is going to be super tight. It's really fun to, you know, to watch this without a doubt. And I look at Devin Booker, his 42 minutes on the floor and his 27 points and how valuable he's been to the team. So you've got Chris Paul and Devin Booker. And then you look at the other side of things, and the shots were falling for a few, like Chris Middleton had 29 points. He was on the floor the most. And Giannis had 20 points. But just when they needed some of those key rebounds, they didn't get them. But and when they had the openings to score and didn't score, well, you leave Chris Paul and Devin Booker and let them combine for almost 60 points, you're going to have a hard time climbing out of that hole. All right, and speaking of climbing out of the hole, what happened that was so interesting, I think, and the idea, I believe, is to pump up golf and get people interested more in golf, but Aaron Rodgers, and just for fun, Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady played a match with two pros you may have heard of, Phil Mickelson being one of them. He was with Tom Brady, and Bryson DeChambeau was with Aaron Rodgers, and they won. Aaron Rodgers' team won. How about that? And it was pretty close, 3-2. So Bryson and Rodgers got the last laugh in the end in this match that was in Montana. At one point, it was just beautiful there. They showed a bear off in the distance, but not too far off in the distance. And it's sad, you know. You hear this story, and then you hear the story about this golf pro and two others that were fatally shot at a Georgia country club. They were, what happened was, apparently, the officers, when they arrived, found an unresponsive man with a gunshot wound to the head near the 10th hole of the golf course, and they investigated it further, and there were two others that were discovered in the bed of a white pickup truck that was on the green. Both had gunshot wounds, and apparently they were just the wrong place at the wrong time. And this is a country club that's near the campus of Kennesaw State University. So the school tweeted Saturday after the shooting that there were no credible threats to the campus, which is about 25 miles northwest of downtown Atlanta. And, somebody who lived nearby said they heard 5 or 6 booms go off. They couldn't tell if it was fireworks or it was something else. And sadly, it was these golfers, this golfer and the workers who sadly were there. And it looks like the worker that was shot dead on the course, he stumbled on a crime in progress, and that's what happened. So Eugene Siller was shot in the head on that green because he happened to stumble upon the scene, and the police say they believe that's what happened, that he was a witness to and didn't know that this crime was in progress involving the unknown suspect and the two victims that they found in the truck. Wow, what a sad, sad thing. Nicole Hall's coming up next.
As the coronavirus coronavirus crisis continues. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Hey everybody, if you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with a high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now, and as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Us now as we leap over to Australia, and her book is called A Piece of Me. I love that title because it means that she's giving us a piece of her and not holding back. And there's something about that. There's something about that title. There's something about it's empowering being able to do that. How many of us and how many of you listening in this audience would be able to do something similar? So Nicole is a very brave person and a very fine writer and also an artist too as well, and a whole bunch of other things. Nicole, thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me. Nice to be here.
What led you to A Piece of Me?
It was a therapeutic expression of the struggles I was going through and the mental illness that I was struggling with, and it was a release and a way for me to be able to express myself.
So I said this to you off the air, that there's that a lot of people struggle, but they don't tell anyone, and that's because of the stigmatism that has been forever attached to it. And that's why I like to say it's mental disease, because it's like there's other diseases, and I almost think we should say it that way, but whatever we call it, what did you really struggle with, and how did you get to the other side?
I really struggled with, I guess, the enormity and how big the emotions can be. and how it is to be able to let them be expressed in a safe and positive way. What helped me move forward, I just allowed them to flow through me, I guess. I got to a point where I could allow things to flow through. It was a very deep spiritual practice, so yeah.
And in your book, you talk about that. In fact, I asked you off the air in our conversation about one of your favorite parts of the book, and that's it, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. It's the deep spiritual guidance that's led me here, that's been able to help me handle the emotions and the complexity of what it is to be human.
So when people get a piece of me, what can they expect?
A really raw, open, honest expression of myself in moments of struggle and moments of light where I was expressing just pure love. And words will never contain that, but it's definitely an expression, yeah.
For the people around you or people you know, did you tell them you were writing the book and did you let them see the book when it was finished?
No, it was very personal. It was very personal, very much a personal process. So I've just released it and allowed it to kind of go where it's going to go.
I like that. So as it goes where it's going to go and people are listening to us and probably also wondering about their own road, what do you hope people take away from reading your book?
I really hope to build connection. I really hope that we find connection in our experiences and the depth of where we can come from to make more, to build stronger connections.
And do you think building stronger connections helps you get to, as we were talking about, through it, to let things flow through you to be able to get to the other side?
Definitely. It allows release. It allows things to flow more. And I feel more connected to other people around me, and it builds relationships, and which is vitally important.
Yeah, there's something about isolation, right?
Absolutely.
That when you feel isolated, then thoughts become magnified anyway, and it becomes that much more difficult. And if we could pull back the curtain, which is what you do, as you said, that's why I asked you, I mean, it's really raw. You pull back the curtain to let people know it's okay. I've been there. I know. And I think that was, it feels like to me that's one of the driving forces of the book.
Yeah, absolutely. I wanted it to just be open, and it's really simply written. So it's not complex. It's just a really just a raw expression of what it is to be human.
Yeah. Was it satisfying for you to be able to pull this together, and how long did it take you? And then once you did it, what was that feeling like once you're like, okay, I did it?
I still look at it sometimes and can't believe that it's actually happened, but it was definitely a process, the whole writing and then putting it together. It was absolutely amazing, but yeah.
So it's a good process. And I asked you this too, you know, what you hope people will take away from it and what the book's about. And in the book, by the way, you have poetry, you have a lot of different things. I mean, that's why you say this is raw. This is really self-examination. Would you tell anyone else out there, and there are a lot of people struggling and they are isolated and they aren't telling people what's happening with them, would you tell them that there is a way out, there is a way to connect?
Absolutely, definitely. There is a way to connect. If we can't find it perhaps with people initially, there's a higher power that is guiding this journey forward, and it can be found. Absolutely.
I like that. It's a perfect place to end this. It can be found. A piece of me can be found on Amazon.com. Nicole Halls, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
All right. And we see people really struggling with mental, as I said to her, mental diseases during this pandemic because of so much of that isolation and how tough that's been for so many people. That's why opening up the skies and being able to travel has made a world of difference, I think, for some. But there's been an up uptick in psychiatric illnesses during the pandemic. There's no doubt about that. One in four adults with depression or anxiety lacked mental health support in many cases during the pandemic, and that made it that much more tougher. And, you know, hey, in other countries it's varying, and it depends on this new strain with the Delta variant too as well. There's always another day, as I say, and there's a place to reach out for help, no doubt. Speaking of another day, on this day, June 7th, in 1981, wow, think back to the 80s, President Ronald Reagan announced that he was appointing Arizona Judge Sandra Day O'Connor to become the first female justice on the U.S. Supreme Court. A very big, big day. Also, if we dive into what happened in the past, and we go even deeper and we go backwards, in 1948, six female U.S. Navy reservists became the first women to be sworn into the regular Navy. Wow, 1948. Think about that and what life was like in you know, the 40s. So we stick with the military in a sense. In 1976, the United States Military Academy at West Point included female cadets for the first time. 119 women joined the class of 1980. Mm-hmm. And then when we look at odds and ends as far as dates in history, if you go back to 2004, former Enron chairman Ken Lay was indicted on criminal charges related to the energy company's collapse. It was a shocker for so many people who had no idea what was happening at Enron. He would later be convicted of fraud and conspiracy, but he died before he could be sentenced in July of 2006. You know, we talk about marijuana and states that are making it legal in the battle over pot. In 2014, Washington State issued its first retail marijuana licenses. So not that long ago. And now there's you get a jab with the vaccine and you get a joint. They're trying that way to appeal to people to get vaccinated. And then if we go back just a couple of years, this was pretty exciting. Go USA as we get ready for Tokyo. In 2019, the U.S. women's soccer team defeated the Netherlands to win their second consecutive Women's World Cup title and the team's fourth overall. Fourth overall. Mm. All right, music means that I have to exit stage left. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they share with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.